the Public News Service Daily Newscast, September the 13th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. The White House says Vice President Kamala Harris is set to embark on a month-long college tour. It includes the College of Southern Nevada, Las Vegas.
The Biden administration is acknowledging the power younger voters have, especially in the next presidential election. Data from the Brookings Institution shows younger generations like millennials and Gen Zers tend to lean more Democrat. At the Alliance for Youth Action, Dakota Hall says younger voters want what he calls transformational change and won't be satisfied unless there are what he describes as sweeping changes relating to democracy.
These are folks who went to high school and witnessed nothing but on news coverage on their different social media feeds of Trump, of like dysfunction, of government shutdowns, and then a global pandemic, right? And so they've seen the worst of what this country can be, and I think they want to push us forward.
According to research from the Alliance, younger voters in key 2022 election battleground states like Nevada are heavily focused on two issues. For more progressive young voters, nearly 2 in 3 see safeguarding abortion access as a top priority. Those who identify as more conservative see bringing inflation under control as their top issue. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
The Brookings Institute projects that if Americans under age 45 vote at the same rate as they did in 2020, they'll represent more than a third of the 2024 electorate. Meantime, today's young people will struggle the most with the effects of climate change. A New Mexico youth group brings its concerns to the streets of Albuquerque this week.
The United Nations hosts its Sustainable Development Goals Summit in New York City next week. Some 2,000 miles away, Jonathan Juarez with the group Youth United for Climate Crisis Action, or YUCCA, says frontline communities in New Mexico pay the price daily for the state's record surplus of oil and gas. He says it's time the state demonstrates a commitment to true climate solutions.
This isn't a one-time thing or something that we're just coming out for to join the rest of the world. This is very much an ongoing fight here in New Mexico that has movement every single month, and it's very, very important.
I'm Roz Brown.
The protest in March will feature speakers on the pitfalls of false climate solutions and proposals for a people's climate plan, focusing on renewables, restoration, and regenerative economic development. Now from CBS News, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy directing House committees to open a formal impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden. CBS notes, despite McCarthy's claims, the investigation mounted by House Republicans into Hunter Biden's conduct has yet to uncover any direct evidence of wrongdoing by the president. This is Public News Service. North Dakota farmers and fellow producers from around the country are in Washington, D.C. this week. Our Mike Mullen reports are calling on the Congress to prioritize the soon-to-expire Farm Bill.
The sweeping policy, which carves out funding for agriculture programs as well as SNAP benefits, is updated every 5 years, and parts of the current version expire at the end of the month. But that looming deadline is overshadowed by another fiscal fight. Lawmakers must agree on a broader spending plan by October 1st to avoid a government shutdown. Christopher Lundeby, a farmer from northeastern North Dakota, is among those meeting with members of Congress, asking them to kickstart efforts on the Farm Bill.
You hope that they are truly feeling the same way that you are and are taking it to heart. But at the same time, in the end, do they really agree with you, or are they just trying to make you feel better?
Lundeby is also with the North Dakota Farmers Union, which wants provisions like a stronger farm safety net, better and permanent disaster programs, and farmer-friendly climate provisions.
The Kentucky Housing Corporation has received applications for housing funding from the state's Rural Housing Trust Fund, requesting more than $18 million for rebuilding single-family homes in regions of the state still recovering from the catastrophic flooding and tornadoes.
Wendy Smith with the Kentucky Housing Corporation explains very few affected homeowners carry flood insurance, and typically homeowners' policies don't cover flooding. She says money from the trust fund will be critical for helping middle and moderate income Kentuckians rebuild their houses.
We are viewing this allocation of state dollars as a really flexible source to keep the pipeline of housing work and recovery going and to grow it before the big federal money arrives.
According to a report by the Ohio River Valley Institute, approximately 9,000 homes in eastern Kentucky were damaged in last year's severe flooding. Rebuilding costs are estimated to be between $450 and $950 million. Nadia Romlagan reporting.
Finally, Edwin J. Vieira reports a Connecticut activist is petitioning to have Donald Trump's federal trial televised.
The Change.org petition has garnered more than 17,000 signatures so far. Its creator, Jonathan Perlow, feels certain he can reach his goal of 25,000 signatures. Currently, Rule 53, established by the U.S. Judicial Conference, prohibits electronic media coverage of federal criminal court proceedings. But with trust in government at an all-time low, Perlow feels TV cameras could provide a nonpartisan look at the inner workings of the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol.
Both sides kind of feel that they're going to be vindicated by seeing it firsthand. But I think that's actually good that something that we otherwise disagree on, we agree that we should be able to see it.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supporter. Here are some great radio stations on your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.